welcome into the midweek edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. Glad to have you along. We'll have a lot of Brewers baseball coming up later on in the week in our weekend show. So you want to be sure to stick around for that. The Brewers Cactus League season well underway in Phoenix. But today's show is about two Milwaukee area athletes that made the same choice. One will wind up in the Hall of Fame. The other has a chance to wind up in the Hall of Fame. Both have ascended as high as their sports would allow them to go individually, but neither has reached the pinnacle of team success. But spaced out over the span of 1 year, they made the same choice. They chose money, they chose comfort level, and they chose to not win a championship the quote-unquote easy way. And both should be equally respected for the decisions they individually made. Before we get going, of course, we'd like to tell you about our social media accounts where you can always interact with the show. You can always email us, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. The user handle is very simply @DougRussellPod as well. And you can find us on our website, DougRussellPod.com. And when you go to DougRussellPod.com, you can download all of our back catalogs. I think I said that our last show was number 66. It was actually number 67. So this is show number 68. So you can download all 68 if you want to go back as far as September when we began the podcast from late last year. All right, back to today's show. There's two athletes, both with strong Milwaukee area ties. And I mean, you already know who they are because it's in the title of the show, which, you know, it doesn't really build the suspense much when you're doing a podcast, when you can already see when you downloaded the episode. But I'm talking about J.J. Watt and Christian Yelich. Exactly 1 year ago, Christian Yelich chose a harder but viable path to his first ring. He chose to play with people he's comfortable with, and he chose guaranteed money. This week, J.J. Watt chose a harder but viable plan to his first ring. He chose to play with people he's comfortable with, and he chose guaranteed money. The exact same decision that Christian Yelich made, J.J. Watt made. Let's start with J.J. Watt. Because the national media is pissing their pants that he chose the Arizona Cardinals over the Packers, Bills, Browns, Titans, or any other team that's considered a favorite in the NFL. And I would have loved to have seen J.J. Watt in Packers green and gold. We talked about that on Monday's show. He filled a positional need, and it would have been a great shot in the arm, I think, for Packers fans to have, you know, his career come full circle where it began here in the state of Wisconsin. But the national media is beside themselves over the fact that J.J. Watt made the choice to take money that was offered to him by an NFL team, which is what professional athletes do, which is what every person that has that choice to make almost always chooses the best situation for them. And most of the time, money is a deciding, if not the deciding factor. First up, Fox Sports Radio's Ben Maller.
On the Maller scale of excitement, 1 to 10, with 10 being a symphony, and 1 being a garage band, this is a 2 on the Maller scale of excitement for J.J. Watt going to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, my thoughts on this, you've got Ja Rule, tropical vacation, and wagon, and we will tie all of these things together. And we are going to make some chicken fingers and fries, which is the all-American meal. It's not the hamburger. It's not the it's the chicken fingers and fries. Every kid loved it when they were growing up. I still love it. Now, J.J. Watt, who left the Texans with the plant in the media, the theory that he wanted to play for a winner. He was tired of the way the Texans franchise was going. He was just going the wrong direction. He wanted to play for a winning champion, you know, championship team, a team that was going to compete for championships. He then decides to sign with the Cardinals. Are you bleeping kidding me? Right? Arizona, Now, say what you want about the Cardinal franchise, and many people have said not much of anything, because why would you? But they've been around for 101 seasons. A lot of people don't realize that. That is one of the original NFL franchises. They started in Chicago back in the day, went to St. Louis, were called the Phoenix Cardinals when they first arrived in Arizona, and then eventually just called themselves the Arizona Cardinals. So you want to take a guess how many postseason wins the Cardinal franchise has in 101 years of football. 101 years of football. The answer, 7. They have 7 playoff wins in 101 seasons. But wait, there's more. The coach that J.J. Watt has picked to play for, Cliff Kingsbury, is hanging on by a thread to his very tenuous status as a coach. He was a losing college coach. And sure enough, he's been a loser in the NFL. Kingsbury, a couple years into his NFL run, 13-18-1 as a pro coach. He has been able to produce mediocre football in every way imaginable. And now, based on J.J. Watt's public comments about wanting to play for a Super Bowl contender, and these are comments made by people around J.J. Watt, we who paid attention to that were given what we call in these parts the Ja Rule treatment. Remember the Fire Festival, the documentaries a couple years back? Yeah, we were hustled, scammed, bamboozled, hoodwinked, and led astray by J.J. Watt. Arizona is as close to Houston as you can get in the NFC West. They are a dysfunctional bunch. You've got former Texan teammate DeAndre Hopkins bragging about how good he is while the team was 8-8. Cliff Kingsbury's claim to fame as coach, the juice box breaks during practice. J.J. will get his own juice box now during practice when the Cardinals have a timeout there. And also during team meetings, you've got to be up on social media. So J.J. will be able to go over and have an Instagram break and take part in that and update the gram. It's key to winning. Worked out very well for the Cardinals with Cliff Kingsbury. They're 5 games under 500 since he took over.
Right, but Cliff Kingsbury inherited a mess. The year before Kingsbury took over, it was the one-year disaster that was Steve Wilks, 2018, when the Cardinals went 3-13. Now, one of those 3 wins was, of course, against the Packers at Lambeau Field, and that was the final straw for Mark Murphy when it came to Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy was fired, about 3 hours after that game was over. Not even. I don't even think he lasted 3 hours. Now, Cliff Kingsbury also is not hanging on by a thread. That's categorically false. In 2019, Cliff Kingsbury, first-year head coach, took a 3-win team, and they went 5-10-1. A 2.5-game improvement. This past season, they went 8-8. And as we said on Monday's show, the Cardinals, yes, they were 8-8. This season, but they only missed the playoffs because they lost a tiebreaker to the Bears for the last spot in the NFC playoffs. They also lost 5 of their 8 games by just 1 score, and 3 of those 5 1-score losses came by a field goal or less. And again, as we said on Monday, basically the Cardinals were competitive in almost every game they played, and they were just a few plays away from maybe going 10-6 or even 11-5. So when you're that close, maybe one player can put you over the edge, and J.J. Watt might be that one player. Let's also talk about DeAndre Hopkins, as long as Ben Maller wanted to talk about DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, he had a great year. DeAndre Hopkins caught as many passes this past season as Devontae Adams. Stephon Diggs caught the most passes this past year, had a monster season. Stephon Diggs was amazing this past year, 120 receptions, 1,535 yards, 8 touchdowns. Devontae had the 18 touchdowns, as we all know. That led the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins had also 115 receptions, just like Devontae. A few more yards, not many, 1,407 to 1,374, so that's negligible, and 6 touchdown receptions. A great season for DeAndre Hopkins. Not as good as Devontae Adams, not as good as Stephon Diggs, but you're talking about the 3 best wide receivers in the NFL. So DeAndre Hopkins did have a great season. So let's talk about the quarterback situation in Arizona versus anywhere else. Ed Werder from ESPN tweeted out on Monday, quote, "I was told J.J. Watt's first criteria in choosing his team would be the quality of the quarterback. So this seems to be an endorsement of at K1, which is Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, by the way, as the Arizona Cardinals pointed out, is the first player in NFL history with 7,500 or more passing yards, 45 or more touchdown passes, and 15 or more touchdown runs in his first two NFL seasons. First player ever to do it. First. The one. I'm not saying he's the NFL MVP. I'm saying he is a rising up-and-coming talent in the NFL that should not and cannot be ignored, especially now that he's got one of the elite wide receivers in the NFL. So that does seem to be an endorsement of Kyler Murray, and it should be an endorsement of Kyler Murray. But to be sure, Ben Maller wasn't the only one. Here's his network colleague, Rob Parker.
Finally, the most, I'm trying to think, I mean, off the top of my head, but the most sought after free agent at this point, or at least one of them.
Is that hyperbole? What are you saying? Because I really?
Well, at this point, I'm thinking, you know, most of the guys are trades. You know, Dak, biggest name, you know, Dak's obviously under the franchise tag, and Russell and Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. These are all guys that were traded or could be. So, yeah, among the free guys, he might be certainly the biggest name. But anyway, he signed, Rob. He left.
Wait a minute. Who did he sign with? Let me see. Well, did he go to Green Bay? Did he go to Tampa Bay? Did he go to – I'm trying to figure
now
out like
why
all
why are you bringing
the,
up those teams?
Well, I'm trying to bring up like teams that maybe have a shot next year to win. Who else can we say up
you'll
there?
You'll probably go through about 20 teams before what? You get to the one he signed with.
Wait a minute. I thought he was trying to win,
actually,
Chris.
Actually, not that many, but close.
But I thought he was trying to win. It's not any.
Well,
it's
look,
not
I'm
New a, Orleans.
I'm going to give you the news, and then you can go off. He all signed right. J.J. Watt signed a two-year – $31 million deal. Remember, we were thinking there's no way he's getting $15, $16 million like it was reported. But he got that, $23 million of it guaranteed. And he goes, Rob, to the Arizona Cardinals, who were 8-8 last year. Who
Wait a
are
minute.
The eighth, according to the odds, they have the eighth best odds of winning the NFC, which of course means they wouldn't make the playoffs. Because only seven make the playoffs in each conference. So there you have it. Have at him.
Wait a minute. I think J.J. Watt thought he was going to the St. Louis Cardinals because they're good and they have a chance to win. Oh, wait a minute. That's baseball. Everything's not funny. Wait a minute. I'm scratching my head and it has nothing to do with dandruff. Well, wait a minute. J.J. Watt, I thought you were trying to win. It wasn't about money. You were going to make $17 million in Houston. So you went where? To Arizona with a lesser quarterback than you had in Houston? Is that where you're going to win? Hey, is this on? J.J. Watt, until further notice, you're F.F. Watt, as in fraud, fraudulent, what?
Okay, a couple of things. Number one, you don't have to yell. These microphones, they work just fine without the theatrics. Number two, though, to compare the train wreck dumpster fire that the Houston Texans are right now to the Arizona Cardinals is like comparing traffic in Manhattan, New York to Manhattan, Kansas. As for Deshaun Watson, he wants out of Houston. The Texans are a dysfunctional organization that's got racial issues, whether they're real or perceived. They have some racial issues, and Deshaun Watson wants out, and J.J. Watt wanted out. The Cardinals aren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. They have underachieved. But as I noted a couple of minutes ago, this isn't a bad team. It's an unlucky team. It wasn't an opportunistic team last year, but this is not a bad football team. Remember, he gets to bookend Chandler Jones. The two players that had the most double teams in 2020, J.J. Watt was number one, Chandler Jones was number two. You can't double both of them. You can't put four players of your 11 on those two guys. And over the last 9 years, those two players, J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, they have been the two most productive pass rushers in the NFL when it comes to sacks. And you put those two guys bookend against each other on opposite sides, Absolutely they could create havoc. That's why Packers fans wanted to put J.J. Watt opposite Za'Darius Smith. But I tell you what, Chandler Jones has been more productive than Za'Darius Smith has been. The narrative that J.J. Watt only took the money is lazy. Piling on the Arizona Cardinals is lazy. And these guys should know better. Here's another element of this. J.J. Watt never said anything to anyone publicly about what his criteria was. He never said to anyone that he would take less money to play anywhere. To assert that he did is factually incorrect. So let's go back to the beginning of this past NFL season. Who had the Buccaneers doing anything when Tom Brady got there? You knew they'd be better, but no one had them winning the Super Bowl. I went back and looked at some of the predictions at the beginning of the season. I did not find one that had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl. I saw them get as far as the NFC Championship game, but I didn't see anyone who predicted them to get to or win the Super Bowl this year. But look, NBC Sports thought the Dallas Cowboys were going to go 12-4. They also had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, by the way, going 10-6. They had the Atlanta Falcons going 9-7. Sometimes things, when it comes to predictions, don't work out. That's why I don't like to do predictions. I think that they're silly. I think that they're useless. And as, especially in the NFL, what we've seen is that they don't mean anything because you can put 30 experts in a room and 30 experts can come up with 30 different possible Super Bowl champions and they all be wrong. NBC Sports had the LA Chargers going 9-7, for example. NBC Sports, you know what their NFC Championship game was? Back in September, it was the 49ers over the Cowboys. Their MVP was Dak Prescott. Now, he got injured, but that's who their MVP was at the beginning of the season. Their coach of the year was Mike McCarthy. ESPN's predictions had the Atlanta Falcons winning the NFC South. NFL.com had Josh Jacobs winning the rushing title, and he was healthy this year. I mean, he's going to be 23 years old at the beginning of next season. I think he's got a huge future in front of him, but he took a massive step back this season, even though his touchdown numbers went up, his yardage went down. He had just over 1,000 yards, which is about half of what the guy who led the NFL in rushing had. They were about 50% right on that. They also said that Sam Darnold was going to become a star. They also said that, again, Coach of the Year Mike McCarthy's Cowboys will be the NFC's number one seed. Had the Seahawks missing the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes throwing 51 touchdown passes. Juju Smith-Schuster would dominate once again. Matthew Stafford would lead the NFL in passing yards, was one of their predictions. He finished 12th. Had Derwin James of the Chargers winning Defensive Player of the Year awards. Now, he was injured, so he missed the entire season, so maybe that's not fair, but I mean, all of these predictions did not come true. I mean, they went over. My point is, the NFL is by far the hardest league to predict. Experts get it wrong all the time. To that end, is the signing of J.J. Watt automatically making the Cardinals a contender? No, it's not. Because they already are one as Kyler Murray continues to improve. But when you put a rejuvenated J.J. Watt on the other side of Chandler Jones, you've got a chance. There's no ring hunting here. If the Cardinals win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years, nobody can accuse J.J. Watt of saying, well, you just went to the best team, so of course you're going to just push them over the top and win a ring. I mean, we've all heard about guys going late career ring hunting, right? That's what they call it. That's what Adrian Peterson reportedly wants to do with Tampa Bay. This isn't that. If he gets a ring and plays a role in the Cardinals' success while doing it, his legend only grows and in another city. Did he get paid? Yep, sure did. He got paid more than the Packers could afford to give him. He got paid more than the Packers would give him. And he got paid more than the Packers should have given him. Did the Cardinals give him the best deal, dollar for dollar? I don't know, but probably. I did not think that he was going to get $15.5 million per season. I did not see that. I didn't think it was going to happen. Good for him. He got it. And if somebody offered you that same deal, if you were in J.J. Watt's shoes, you would have done the same thing. And so would have Ben Maller, and so would have Rod Parker. And so would everybody else who's been ripping J.J. Watt over the last 4 days. I can't believe he went to the Arizona Cardinals. I can. Scratch the surface a little bit. Look at the fact that he's playing with people that he knows. Look at the fact that he's going to be in a system that he's excelled in. Look at the fact that the Cardinals are a team that's not that far off. They've got a young and explosive and improving offense. And they still have guys that can get the job done on defense. Now, let's compare J.J. Watt to Christian Yelich. Yelly signs a 9-year, $215 million extension exactly 1 year ago. And nobody saw that one coming either. And maybe that's, I should add that. That's something else that these two guys have in common. Nobody saw this extension coming. And 2020 for Yelly, we all know it was a disaster. He's the first one to say it, just to get it out of the way. Yeah, I know. Look, I sucked last year. We all know it. But he and J.J. Watt did the exact same thing, just exactly 1 year apart. Remember, a harder but viable path to their first ring. Choosing to play with people that he's comfortable with. Obviously, Christian Yelich, very comfortable in the Brewers organization. Knows those teammates. Knows Lorenzo Cain. Knows Craig Counsell and how he operates. And David Stearns and Matt Arnold. And that entire organization. J.J. Watt going to Houston, or going from Houston to Arizona. Defensive coordinator Vance Joseph is someone that spent 3 years with J.J. Watt in Houston. Vance Joseph was the defensive backs coach, but learned a lot under Wade Phillips and uses many of the same techniques that J.J. Watt started his career with Wade Phillips with the Texans. So he's familiar with Vance Joseph. He's familiar with that system. And then also DeAndre Hopkins, former Houston Texan, now with the Arizona Cardinals, who apparently did a really good sell job. Also, by the way, who did a really good sell job, apparently, and I didn't realize this, were maybe J.J. Watt's one of his neighbors from Waukesha.
When you look at J.J.'s history, I mean, the guy's never been recruited, you know, walk-on in Central Michigan, and the path that he's taken, I think it was probably fairly exciting for him to have a number of teams recruit him. I certainly pulled out all the stops, guys like our friend Frank Caliendo and Hop, and even your new jingle, Blake Shelton.
Okay, how did Caliendo help? How did Caliendo help in this process?
He probably impersonated John Gruden and said that Steve Keim had interest and made some sort of funny deal. I don't know that what he did, but you know, he was my son's flag football coach and a terrible one at that. But he lives right around the corner from our facility and is a good friend, as you know. So he's always willing to help.
16-0, man.
That's what it sounds like. Okay, very good. Okay. Wow. Fantastic. And I guess Blake had something to do with it because we saw his tweet yesterday where he was celebrating, welcoming J.J. Watt. I'll be fielding all inquiries on behalf of you, he mentioned, Steve Keim.
Yeah.
Our first
yeah.
statement is as follows, quote-unquote, other teams can suck it. That was something, Steve.
I'm always trying to keep it at the G level, G-rated level. But, you know, Blake sort of has a mind of his own.
Hey, he's Blake Shelton. For crying
Correct.
Out loud.
Cardinals general manager Steve Keim on the Rich Eisen show earlier this week. I didn't realize that Frank Caliendo had the ear of Steve Keim. I know that he had been to the Cardinals camp a couple of times. There was an all access from, I think it was one of the streaming services a couple of years ago, whether it was, I think it was might have been Amazon and Amazon All Access. And he came in and he did his Bruce Arians impersonation and just absolutely killed. And Frank, who's from Waukesha, I've known Frank for well over 30 years. Frank has lived in the Valley of the Sun for at least 15 years. He's been a Phoenix area resident, so he's become a Cardinals fan. I think he's always going to have an affinity for the Packers, but he's become a Cardinals fan. And I look, you live there. You become friends with some of the guys that are in the organization, and he helped apparently recruit J.J. Watt, his Waukesha neighbor. I don't know if they talked about their shared home area. Pewaukee and Waukesha, obviously, are right next door to each other. But, you know, whatever it takes, I suppose. But that's what lured J.J. Watt to the Arizona Cardinals. But again, we're talking about Watt and Yelich making the exact same decision, choosing the guaranteed money, $215 million for Christian Yelich, choosing to play with people that they're comfortable with. Exactly 1 year ago, I'll leave you with this. I had a shortened radio show the night that Christian Yelich apparently came to terms with the Brewers on the 9-year, $215 million contract extension. Here's how this went exactly 1 year ago. Christian Yelich is going to be a Milwaukee Brewer for the next, what, 9 seasons? We'll read you the entire article. It's not that long. But it was still one of those good bombshells that you get. It was one that was unexpected. Now, when and if Giannis, for example, signs his Supermax this coming offseason, if the Bucks win the NBA championship, very well likely that he will remain in Milwaukee, sign his Supermax, and we will, you know, cease with the narrative of we're going to divvy him up into three pieces. Part of him is going to be on the Lakers, part of him is going to be on the Warriors, and part of him is going to be on the Knicks, because Milwaukee can't have nice things because it's a pissant town in a flyover state. That's the national narrative. And I think that we're going to see the same thing about Christian Yelich from a certain faction of uneducated oafs that live on the coasts. Why would Christian Yelich possibly want to stay in Milwaukee? Well, because he's come pretty close to winning a World Series the last couple of years. By the way, Christian Yelich has come far closer to winning a World Series in little pissant Milwaukee than Mike Trout has in Los Angeles. Big, fancy Southern California. I know it's Anaheim. You know what I mean. Look, Mike Trout's a great player. Nobody's taking that away from him. But the Angels have done squat in beautiful, sunny, palm tree Southern California, where it's Hollywood and Disneyland and where all the beautiful people have to be. Not Milwaukee. That's the national narrative. Because everybody else that's not from here or has never been here or has only flown over here thinks that we're all rubes with cows in our backyards and we can't do anything in sports, and you just pat us on our head and send us on our way. I think this says a lot of things. This says, number one, that there was a reason that the Brewers didn't re-sign Mike Moustakas and Yasmani Grandal during the offseason. I didn't expect it this soon, but I was hoping that when Moose was allowed to go to the Reds and Yaz was allowed to go to the White Sox, that there was a plan that, you know what, maybe they're just saving a couple of their pennies to try to make a run at Christian Yelich when he's up for free agency in, what, 3 years? Well, forget 3 years. Now it's going to be an additional 7. So I'm not sure exactly how this is structured. And it's not going to be announced for a few days. It's probably not, according to Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic, not until Friday. So it's Tuesday now. So that'll be 3 days from now. But there's a plan in place. You can see, okay, if you get this one signature superstar, try to get a couple of other complimentary pieces, add a veteran here, add a veteran there, even if they're on one-year deals, try to develop somebody, because the Brewers minor league system right now is depleted. There's no question that it's depleted by every metric that you could possibly imagine. And some of that's because they had to trade part of it to get Christian Yelich a couple of years ago in the first place. There have been a couple of misses when it comes to high draft picks. There have been guys that they have developed and graduated to the major leagues, guys like Keston Hiura, for example. But there have been other guys that just haven't panned out. And the Brewers right now in the minor league system, yeah, it's a little bare. And when I say a little bare, when you look at Baseball America, in The Athletic, Keith Law just had his ranking, and the Brewers ranked dead last in what they were doing for, as far as the prospects that they've got for the Brewers minor league system right now. So, you know, it's all about trying to win at the major league level. And the Brewers, for so many years, they've had this crown jewel of this minor league system, but it hasn't amounted to squat at the major league level. Right now, they've got an opportunity. And this is a huge part of that. Now, the question that's on the table right now for the Twitter poll question of the night, it's very simple. Will the Brewers win a World Series with Christian Yelich, a member of the team, for the next 9 years? Yes or no? Pretty simple. Yes or no? Greg Hill, what do you think? Yes or no?
Ooh.
I know. It's never happened before.
It's
so
not
that,
an easy question.
It's not. My heart says, yeah, absolutely. My head says, well, they haven't done it in 50 years, so I don't know why they're going to do it in the next nine. I will say this. This gives them a chance. Without Christian Yelich, without a superstar, you don't have that chance. And the other things that David Stearns has done for the Major League club have, by and large, pretty well worked out. They were a contender in 2017 when nobody thought that they were going to even have a winning record. They came within one game of getting to the playoffs. 2018, within one game of the World Series. Last year, they needed September to do it, but they got to the wild card round, losing in a heartbreaker to the eventual World Series champions, you know, when the bullpen and some defensive issues kind of cropped up. I've said this a couple of times, but I'm glad that there was... I don't want anybody to get hurt, and our prayers and thoughts are with everybody in Nashville, and everybody got hurt when the tornado ripped through here in October, on October 1st. I was in my basement. I didn't really miss it. I've never gone back and watched what happened to the Brewers at the end of that game, nor do I care to.
Find the highlight. Sure, I have it.
Don't need it.
Okay.
Don't want it.
Sure. It's in the past.
It's just in the past. I don't want to remember last October. I would rather remember last September. Our Twitter poll question, will the Brewers win a World Series with Christian Yelich, a member of the team, for reportedly the next 9 years? 156 votes are already in. 69.2% of you say yes, the Brewers will win a World Series over the course of the next 9 years. Love some of the Twitter handles that sometimes tweet us back. This is from Think Ben, Think the Outfielder. This is Gamble Toe. He says, got to put guys around him, and they have a few already. I'm pumped. So there you go.
He's probably noting Ben Gamble in that implication of that tweet.
Perhaps. If he's the guy you're banking on, though, I think it was perhaps more of a play on words. Who's to say? Let's see. The story originally came from Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic. The Brewers, who lost Yasmani Grandal and Mike Moustakas in free agency, evidently were saving for something bigger, a monster extension for outfielder Christian Yelich. The Brewers are close to an agreement on Yelich with a new 9-year contract in the $215 million range. The deal is expected to be announced Friday at the team's spring training facility in Phoenix. Yelich, 28, currently owned $12.5 million this season and $14 million next season with a $15 million club option. His new deal eliminates the club option, adds 7 years, bringing the total value to the $215 million range, according to sources. Some of the money will be deferred, and the average annual value for those 7 years will be in the $27 million range, still below market value for a player of Yelich's caliber. Angels center fielder Mike Trout currently is baseball's highest paid player, position player, at $35.541 million per season. Anthony Rendon is next at $35 million per season. So, yeah. That's a bit of a hometown discount. I hope that Christian Yelich doesn't get flack from the Players Association for this. I fear that that may happen. I want this thing done, and I just want to put it behind everybody. Because the Players Association, well, then you're deflating values for everybody else. Christian Yelich has said that he wants to be here, and let's let him stay here. Because then that gives Milwaukee Brewers fans hope. And that's all you can really ask for. All right, before we go, this is from Alex Rodriguez earlier today. He was asked about the Houston Astros cheating scandal. I got a lot out of this. You should hear it too.
I think the one thing that really has upset the fans is you cheat, you win a championship, there is no suspension, and then there's no remorse. And the last one, I think, is probably the worst one, because people want to see remorse. They want a real, authentic apology, and they have not received that thus far. And I can just tell you this, Matty, from a guy who has made, you know, as many mistakes as anybody on the biggest stage, I served the longest suspension in Major League Baseball history. You know, it cost me well over $35 million. And you know what? I deserved that. And as a result, I came back I owned it after acting like a buffoon for a long time. I had my apologies, and then I went dark. And I wanted my next move to be contrite, but I also wanted to go out and play good baseball and change my narrative. And the way you change your narrative is you have to be accountable. You've earned all this negative talk. You've earned whatever comes your way, including whether it's hit by a pitch or negative press. You have divorced yourself from having the ability to protect yourself.
I served the longest suspension in MLB history. It cost me well over $35 million. And you know what? I deserved that from Alex Rodriguez. Everybody makes mistakes. He made a colossal mistake. He screwed up, but he owned it. The Astros, I think, need to start to own it a little bit better than they have. Marquette basketball coming up straight ahead. Marquette at DePaul. Go Golden Eagles. See you tomorrow. Visiting the Wayback Machine exactly 1 year ago, and Christian Yelich came to terms on a 9-year, $215 million contract extension with the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, making the same decision that J.J. Watt did. A harder but viable path to a first championship, choosing to play with who he's comfortable with, and choosing guaranteed money. All right, that's it for the show for this Wednesday and Anything Goes Wednesday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. You can hit us up on our socials. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Doug Russell Pod. Search for us on Facebook and on YouTube. You can email the show at DougRussellPod@gmail.com. And for all of our back episodes and all of our socials and everything that we do, very simply, DougRussellPod.com. Again, we'll have some Brewers baseball talk for you on Friday. We'll see you then. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.